It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station.
It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Nothing like ruining a great song. You know, it's such a classic traditional song that some of us in my generation actually could remember, and then you put this funk stuff to it. Come on, Adam. It was such a great thought. Just played the wrong version.
Oh, come on, Brett.
I'm just an old guy, man.
I thought you were the DJ getting hip in the club.
Man, 25 to 54. You're playing to the 20 to 25 crowd.
Yeah.
Insiders will know what we're talking about. All right. Hey, welcome to the Sports Rush. It is your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with the Mr. DJ, Adam Lundy, and, of course, playing Welcome Back. It is all about the return of Zach Edey. We've got plenty on that. Also coming up on the show, we'll talk to Alan Karpik from goldandblack.com and get his take on how this changes the Boilermakers and what could be some of the negatives with Zach Edey returning. Also on the way in hour number two, Justin Cohen for the Journal Gazette talks about the termination of the ending of the Ben Boudreau era as Comets coach. He'll be joining us at about 5:20. And then Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine with his weekly visit coming up around 5:35. So what a gorgeous day. Nice, sunny, hot summer day. Just absolutely gorgeous. Great way to start June.
Absolutely. Happy first day of June to you, Brett, and everybody kind of listening.
Snuck up on us.
Yeah, no kidding. May flew by.
All of a sudden, we went from April, where we were complaining about how cold it was, to June, where now we can complain about it being too hot. it's amazing, within a 30-day period, how you can go from like almost winter to summer.
But hey, you know, the perfect solution to beating this heat.
Air conditioning.
Well, that, but also a cool, refreshing, low-priced beverage at the ballpark this
yes,
evening.
Yes, and it is a Thirsty Thursday down at the ballpark. Tin Caps take on the South Bend Cubs. 7:05 will be the first pitch. 6:45, the airtime for the Hoopie Insurance Services pregame show. I thought you might be talking about the pools, and the city pools apparently for the second year in a row not going to get opened on time, staff shortage, which means not enough lifeguards.
Mm.
And my apartment complex has the same issue. It's got a pool, a community pool, and they've announced that there's going to be limited availability to the pool certain days. Like for instance, it opens tomorrow, and it will be open on Saturday, but closed on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. So it's like, wow. And they've got to do that, I guess, because right now, just not enough lifeguards. And they're hoping that they'll be able to expand services and have the pool open. But right now, a delay in the opening of city pools. So for those of you that were kind of planning and looking ahead, you might want to check the city website to make sure the pools are open. But I just saw that story break that that city pools are going to be delayed. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We said Zach Edey made the announcement last night. He is coming back. He will be at Purdue and kind of forego his NBA options until next year. And it's an interesting dynamic because certainly Purdue's a better basketball team with Zach Edey. They become almost a team that is too deep in the front line because when you add Berg and then already bring back guys like Mason Gillis, Trey Kaufman, Wren, and Caleb Furst, you have plenty of bigs for very limited minutes. And so the question becomes, How does Matt Painter deal with that? Who plays? Who doesn't? Who sits? Does Zach Edey play a position that's going to look different than it did this past season? I truly believe that Matt Painter has a responsibility to expand the Purdue offense, to include Zach Edey maybe doing some work on the perimeter. And I'll tell you this, I still go back to Fairleigh Dickinson, because I think Matt Painter made a lot of decisions in that game that hurt the Boilermakers. One was, if you're going to triple team Zach Edey, then triple team him 20 feet from the basket and see how well you cover then against some of the other Boilermakers. What you don't want is you don't want a pack all around the basket, so even if another Purdue player gets a chance to drive, there's congestion around the rim. And I'd have taken Edey, and whether you want to say it's using him as a decoy or just taking defenders away from the rim, I'd have put Edey up at the top of the key and let him set ball screens and run a pick and pop. Not even, you know, and it's like, okay, so maybe they don't even guard him on the perimeter. That's fine. But they also don't have a guy to triple team down in the post and crowd up the lane and crowd up the basket area. And, you know, because I if you'd have taken Caleb first, for instance, who didn't hardly play in the second half against Fairleigh Dickinson, and you clear out the lane, put Edey up top, rotate first down to post up, first would be matched up against a guy that's about 6'4". Now, I have to think that a guy 6'9 is going to be able to beat a guy 6'4 if he gets him in the low block. Purdue never changed at all. They were what they were, and they stayed true to it, believing that that was going to be the way they win, and that was going to be the way they would win that game. It didn't happen. And I think maybe Matt Painter learned something from that, that you've got to have different ways of playing Zach Edey, and maybe it will help Zach Edey, but maybe it will also help Purdue. I think there's ways to showcase his skills away from the basket. And I'm not saying he's got to go out and be Steph Curry. And I don't say he's got to go out and launch a bunch of three-pointers. But where did Zach Edey play 90% of the offense? Within 5 or 6 feet of the basket. I'm just saying, let him go out, set some more screens, do a little more pick and pop. Keep the lane clear, because you're going to have a slasher this year in Miles Colvin. You've already got Braden Smith, who's a pretty good attacker on the drive. You know, if they have runouts, aggressive runouts on Fletcher Lawyer, you got to let him shot fake and drive. And the last thing you want is a lot of guys protecting the rim because they're double and triple teaming Zach Edey down by the basket. And so I kind of feel like the greatest challenge now for Purdue and the coaching staff is to figure out ways to become a more versatile basketball team and still utilize the strengths of Zach Edey. And it's, again, it's kind of a fine line, but I think that's the challenge that Purdue will face. The other part of it is, how do you line up the roster? You've got a lot of bigs now, and somebody just lost about 30 minutes, or a group of players, because Zach Edey's going to be on the floor close to 30 minutes a game. And, you know, maybe 28. He's gone as much as, what, 34, 35? He can, I mean, he's in good shape. He's a good athlete. He's going to be able to be out there and play. And that 30 to 35 minutes just came back for another year. That's a lot of minutes you're going to be taking away from somebody, whether that's Trey Kaufman-Wren. It seems like it always comes back to Trey Kaufman-Wren, because first has more experience. Mason Gillis has the three-point shot. And in Berg, we don't know what he's got, but he's 7 feet tall, and I think he's got to play because he just redshirted last year.
Yeah, he did have an injury to his foot late in this kind of this season, and they're talking about him maybe trying to get a medical redshirt year again, but and that would free up some of those minutes that you don't have to give to
that,
Berg.
That would probably be ideal for Purdue if they could get a medical redshirt and still have him 4 years after they know Zach Edey's going to depart. But
that's up to the NCAA.
Seems like a lot of challenges. But Zach Edey is back, and I think overall for Purdue fans, that's certainly good news. You bring a National Player of the Year back, a guy that's the centerpiece of a really successful team from a year ago. Yes, major disappointment in the postseason, but in some ways, maybe that motivates this group because they're the group that experienced that disappointment. And remember what Virginia did the year after getting beat by a number 16 seed. They came back and won the national championship the very next year. Maybe that's something that Purdue can do.
Yeah, definitely.
The pieces are in place.
Yeah, they are. And I think that definitely getting Edie back is a overall positive for Purdue and all the Boilermaker fans. But it's like you said, it definitely does leave some questions that need to be answered.
Illinois gets good news. One of their best players comes back from the NBA draft. He's going to be back at Illinois. For Northwestern, not as good a news. Chase Audige is going to stay in the NBA draft, or as I would refer to it, he's going to stay in the G League draft. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating him, but I don't see Chase Audige as a first rounder. Do you know where he's projected? Because, I mean, I've seen him play plenty of games. I've seen him in person play games. And he's very streaky. I mean, he could miss six in a row as easy as he could make four or five in a row. So he's very streaky. And, I just don't see where he's going to be that lock first-round pick. And yet he's going to stay in the NBA draft. He's not returning to Northwestern. So one is back, one is not. Boo Booey is back for another year at Northwestern. What else is news? Oh, Rutgers got Amore back. Who else came back? There are a number of guys that did return last night. I saw the sequence of tweets coming out that guys were returning. But Zach Edey back for Boilermakers, good news. And we'll talk to Alan Karpik about that coming up. Real curious in thinking through this whole separation with the Comets and Ben Boudreaux. We can witness as fans a certain part of the job performance that Ben Boudreaux does. We can see how their scheming and their execution and things that we would attribute to coaching, we can see that in actual game action. The lack of discipline, how much do you put that on the coach? The slow starts, do you put it on the coach? I don't. And so there's a lot of the job performance you feel like you're witness to. And you can be the judge. But there's also tons of things that the coach is responsible for. Relationships, player development, player preparation as far as the scouting and having players feeling like they're prepared for their opponent. The confidence that the players take the ice with, feeling like they know exactly what has to be done to be successful. The communication. And so we only know really one side of the overall picture of what Ben Boudreaux did as a coach. And I think that had to be a very difficult decision for the Comets because a 134-95-27 record is the starting point. That's your wins and losses. Four seasons, 134 wins, 95 losses, 27 OTs. That's a good record. And he won three of his five playoff series. He won a Kelly Cup. So I'm led to believe it's the things I didn't see that ultimately swayed the Frankies into making this decision. And it's frustrating because I don't know what I don't know. But were there players that didn't feel like they were prepared, that they were coached well, that they were, you know, is it something with the players? Is it, something with how he recruited, how he assembled a roster? Certainly we know there were roster issues with last year's team. We even called it out when they announced their initial roster. We said they went out, they got a bunch of 6'5 defensemen that are all rookies. How is this young defensive core going to hold up? They didn't. They were awful. And there's no other way of putting it. So I'm not exactly sure if there was one thing that the Franckis looked at and said, we can't tolerate that anymore. We have to move in a different direction. Or if it was a lot of things that were, they could be better. Maybe this could be better. This is pretty good, but this is kind of slacking. And eventually weighed it all together and thought, we're an organization that has higher standards than just above average. And maybe that's the performance, the job rating they gave him. I like Ben.
Yeah.
We've always had a great relationship with Ben. And I'm personally sorry to see him go. But I also have faith in the Franckis. They've run a successful organization for 30 years, over 30 years, and you've got to give them some trust and some benefit of the doubt. But the pressure is on now to upgrade at that coaching spot. And you can go to the well maybe too often, but it is a popular job. It's the Comets. They've got a great reputation in the hockey circles, and I think it will be a job that comes with a lot of demand. Already resumes are coming in, but we'll see what happens. We're going to be talking to Justin Cohen more about that coming up in hour number two. Let's catch up with what's happening in the world of sports, including some breaking news from Adam Lundy.
All right, well, thank you, Brett. Well, this broke in about the last 45 minutes. Former Seton Hall forward Tay Davis announced his commitment to play at Notre Dame. The 6'9", 204-pound Davis entered the transfer portal in late April following a freshman season in which he played 32 of Seton Hall's 33 games while averaging 13.5 minutes, almost 3 points, and 3 rebounds per game.
Micah Shrewsbury, Notre Dame hit the home run when it came to that hire. There's no question about it. Getting Micah Shrewsbury is going to pay long-term dividends for Notre Dame and already seeing some short-term wins.
Absolutely. Tom Pelissero reporting that the 2024 NFL draft will be held from April 25th to 27th in Detroit. Tom Brady, former NFL quarterback, reiterated today that he has no plans to play in the NFL again after retiring in February. Quote, I'm certain I'm not playing again, so I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times, Brady told Sports Illustrated.
Looks like now he's moved past making money. Now he's looking at how to invest money with sports teams and other ventures.
Really into Las Vegas right now, he is.
Yeah, he's tying his money into Las Vegas sports teams.
Yeah.
By the way, just off subject, did you happen to see the artist renderings of the new stadium that's being planned and proposed in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I have. It looks pretty darn fancy.
Whoa. I was going to dress up the strip real nice. Right across the street from MGM Grand. That's normally where I've stayed out there. Right across the street and kind of between MGM Grand, what's the one around the corner?
You're asking the wrong guy. I've never been to Las Vegas.
Next door to, Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay, and the airport. It's kind of it contained inside that circle.
Yeah, definitely looks like a great ballpark. Well, Coach Monty Williams has agreed to a 6-year, $78.5 million contract with the Detroit Pistons, reported by Adrian Wojnarowski. It is the largest coaching deal in NBA history. Monty Williams, 51, was fired by the Phoenix Suns earlier in May after 4 seasons as their coach. Any thoughts on that one, Brett?
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Too much money.
We'll talk about that more later in the show.
Definitely. I just think Detroit went too far in trying to win the press conference, and it cost him a lot of money to do it.
Definitely a lot of money. And a quick MLB update for you, Brett. The Blue Jays beat the Brewers in Toronto 3-1. The Mets beat the Phillies 4-2 in New York. And the Padres all over the Marlins 10-1 in Miami today. Gary Sanchez, who the Padres added Monday, hit a homer yesterday and today in back-to-back games. So he's producing for the new team there.
Yeah, where'd he come from?
Oh, gosh.
Mets, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have to. He was bouncing around all those teams.
He was bouncing around, but he's a former Met.
But those are today's top stories.
So we should thank our program director,
Mike Rags.
Yeah, for his team giving up on Sanchez, because the Padres are taking advantage of that. And it's an area that the Padres needed some help. They needed some power bats. They needed a little more offense. Catching has always been a bit of a struggle for them. So There you go. Today's headlines with Adam Lundy. Still coming up, Alan Karpik from GoldenBlack.com is going to join us, get his thoughts on the Zach Edey returning situation. Still coming up on the show, we've got Alan Karpik from GoldenBlack.com covering all of the Purdue sports. Also, Justin Cohn joins us in hour number two to talk about Ben Boudreau not returning as the Comets coach. Tonight, the NBA Finals begin. Quick, name the last finals that was about that was this least interesting. What? How do I want to say this? That is the that is less interesting than this is.
I don't know.
Nationally, this is not a big hit for the NBA.
No, I mean
nobody hardly knows anybody on Denver. They weren't expected to be there. They've got don't have the respect even in the league.
Yeah, I mean, and they just don't have big markets.
Well, no, I mean, they're okay markets.
Decent.
I mean, what's Denver? 12, 13, 14, Miami's 11, something, I don't know. All I know is these two teams are not necessarily the marquee matchup that would have been
right.
the and best case scenario for the NBA.
And I'm not trying to talk down on either of those two teams, it's just that the Lakers, obviously, and the Celtics, both much larger media markets.
Yeah. Even if it wouldn't have been too as good a teams, more
right.
people would have watched the Lakers versus the Celtics than would have watched Denver versus Miami. This is not the matchup that works best. So for anybody who thinks there's a conspiracy in the NBA to set up matchups, if there is, the conspiracy absolutely failed in the conference finals.
Yeah, they definitely did not rig it for the more popular teams.
I mean, your biggest stars are one guy whose name most of America can't pronounce and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, who can be kind of off and on.
Yeah. Who's you know, last did he ever appear in the finals before?
I don't think so.
With Miami. I mean, he was with Miami last time they were in the finals, wasn't he? Or was he not?
I don't think so. This will be his first finals appearance.
I don't think of him being...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He was in the 2019 bubble final.
The bubble finals.
Yeah, he was in that one.
But he's not necessarily a big household name. And I think the bubble finals weren't a real great show either. But it did have LeBron James.
Always a factor.
Yeah. But it seems like this is one of the least interesting matchups that the NBA probably could have had.
Yeah, we could have
one seed that hasn't earned the respect of even those that cover the NBA and an 8 seed that lost their first play-in game and had to basically cross their fingers and get lucky to get to this point.
Yeah, I guess we could throw it out to the text line 46862. What is your level of interest in this NBA finals between the Nuggets and the Heat?
Or name one that's less interesting.
Yeah. Has there been a less interesting finals matchup in your opinion?
Think in history. Has there been a less interesting finals matchup than Denver-Miami? And we want these to be interesting.
Of course.
It's part of our job to have people interested and care about what's happening because, yes, it's a national story and we're going to hit on it. But we're also realist here, right? I mean, when you look at Denver, Miami, this is not the matchup that the NBA is going to get excited about. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine, text line 46862. Hey, this was interesting. You know John Rothstein?
Yeah.
The real John Rothstein.
Yeah.
Covers college basketball.
Not the fake ones on Twitter.
Not the fake one. That was trying to say Zach Edey was staying in the NBA draft yesterday. But John Rothstein, after everybody made their decisions, who's staying, who's going, he put out a top 50? I'm trying to remember how far it went. And what was fortunate, it went to at least 44 because that way we were able to find Indiana. So his preseason 2023-2024 college basketball poll has Indiana at number 44.
And they just made the cut because it's the Rothstein 45.
I think he made it 45 just to include Indiana because Rothstein is very, he posts a lot about Indiana. But it seems kind of like, what is the issue that he doesn't like about the Indiana Hoosiers? Because
yeah,
it seems like even a bad year for Indiana, they would be higher than 44. And so, yeah, but you know where he's got Purdue?
I don't know. Where does he have Purdue?
Number 3.
Wow. All right. Still, he thinks he'll be back at it.
Yeah, he gave a little update. You know, Indiana, their starting five projected: Xavier Johnson, Trey Galloway, Mackenzie Mbako, Malik Renew, and Khalil Ware. Off the bench, Anthony Walker, Peyton Sparks, Gabe Cupps, Ja'Kai Newton, Anthony Leal, C.J. Banks, Caleb Banks. The key losses: Trace Jackson Davis, Jalen Huchefino, Race Thompson, Miller Kopp, Tamar Bates, Jordan Geronimo.
That might be why he has them at 44, I guess. Might be considering those key losses.
The losses were greater than the additions?
I don't know.
Seems low to me.
It's a little low.
I mean, I think Indiana goes into the season as a top 25, maybe a top 20. But here's the question. If Purdue is the favorite, and I know somebody's going to jump on this, and IU fans going to hate hearing that Purdue might be the favorite in the Big Ten next year. But you've got to assume, with the players coming back, with Zach Edey, Player of the Year, returning, despite what happened in the tournament, that Purdue is going to be the favorite in the Big Ten. Question is, who's second best? Out of the teams in the Big Ten, who's number 2? I mean, you could make a case for 3 or 4 different teams, possibly Illinois, possibly Michigan State. Is there someone we're missing?
Yeah, and according to John Rothstein, according to his top 45 list, he has Michigan State at number 4, right after Purdue.
Yeah, so he likes the Spartans, who return almost everybody. So, you know, that's another roster that is heavily loaded with returnees. But who do you have number 2 in the Big Ten? Let us know on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862.
Yeah, and we got a couple texts here real quick. Someone said, I could care less about the NBA Finals. I'd rather watch Law & Order SVU.
Yeah, it's not the matchup.
But someone else texted in 46862. They said, people said the same thing about the Suns-Bucks series, and that was a great Finals. So,
yeah, probably true. You know, a lot of times it's that first time in before the average sports fan or even the sports wife. Okay, because I use my wife as a reference a lot of times. Like, if she's excited about a sports event because she knows a player or has a perception of being a fan of a team, then that makes me believe that more people are going to follow it. And when she doesn't get too excited, then I'm thinking the rest of the country is probably just like her. Doesn't watch sports much, doesn't like to watch sports a whole lot. And so I use her as my gauge, because I can enjoy anything. I mean, I'll enjoy watching Miami-Denver. It's not the matchup that I think the country wants to see, but I understand it. And so there's things that I'll enjoy. But I still don't think there's too many that would have been considered less interesting than this matchup of Miami-Denver. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We're going to take a timeout. We got to talk to Alan Karpik. GoldenBlack.com. Get the reaction from a Purdue beat writer, blogger, / internet journalist, and get his take on what he thinks about the return of Zach Edey. That's coming up next right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Got to talk about Zach Edey and his return to the Purdue Boilermakers. And, you know, right on top of Purdue, football, basketball, recruiting is goldandblack.com. And the president publisher of goldandblack.com and Golden Black Express joining us right now here on the Sports Rush. It is Alan Karpik. Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
It's great for you to be joining us to talk about what I think is an exciting night for Purdue fans. I know there's always going to be some mixed reaction, but overall very positive. Where does the return of Zach Edey take Purdue in your mind from a top 10, a top 15, to a top 5. Where do you see the impact as far as what Purdue can be and what they should be ranked nationally?
Well, I think that when you get a guy like Zach Edey, you get a National Player of the Year coming back, you're going to be a team that's going to be in that, and a team that was in the top 5 for the majority of last season, at least after the first few weeks. They're going to be, the Boilermakers are going to be in the top 5, I would think, early on and have a chance to stay in that situation. But it's a different year. You've got some different pieces. Purdue obviously had the very disappointing end of the last season, and that will weigh into Purdue's motivation moving forward. But I think it's generally viewed, not generally, it's universally viewed in the Purdue community that it's a great thing that Zach Edey is back, because Zach Edey, not only was National Player of the Year, but a guy also that showed some great leadership qualities and just, I think, has a desire to make things better and have Purdue, hopefully, if you're a Purdue fan, a chance to make a run into the tournament next year.
It is a very deep front line in a game that is becoming more guard-oriented. Is there any kind of domino effect? How does Matt Painter balance the playing time with a very deep front line?
Well, I think that's going to be a challenge when you have Caleb First up in your area, and then, of course, Trey Kaufman, Ren, who guys that probably had Zach Edey decided not to come back. Not probably. They would have. Purdue had to change a little bit the way they played, maybe the rotation was with those guys. But there are also guys that will get ample opportunity to play if they do the job, and for the most part, last year they did. You know, Purdue's got guard play, and they have good guards. I mean, this is not a team, even though I know that it's kind of conventional wisdom. Another player also from Fort Wayne, you know, Fletcher Lawyer, that there's some that want to be real critical of how he played. He was a freshman last year, and he did some very, very good things. He certainly ran into a shooting slump, but you have to expect that these guys will, both Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, being sophomores next year, having a complete offseason to get physically better, which Braden Smith did not have last year, that will be a factor that should help Purdue. Purdue's guard play, they have to make shots. And again, if Purdue shoots 8 of 26 as opposed to 5 of 26 versus Fairleigh Dickinson and somehow beats Florida Atlantic in the round of 32 game, we're probably not having a lot of these conversations, except for saying that Purdue's an elite team coming back. And I think that's where Purdue can be, but they're going to have to prove it day in and day out.
Can Purdue be a different team with the same name and number on the jersey and use Zach Edey in any different way than just putting him down on the low block and let him tower over people?
Well, I think Purdue's going to be a different team because they've got three players next year that are going to contribute a lot that didn't play last year. From that standpoint, I mean, I do think that, you know, they've got a transfer from Southern Illinois that a guard that's going to play and do well. I think also certainly Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi, two guys, Lance Jones, I meant, should have said his name, but he's a guy that can make a difference there. So, you know, Purdue, I expect them to use Edey a little bit differently just because he wants to show that he's a little bit more flexible, maybe help him down the road in the professional game. But he is also 7'4" and was the dominant player. So Purdue will have to tweak some things, but they should have some more offensive firepower across the board next year. And they just have to find a way to not have the shooting slumps, which Purdue had for a lot of the Big Ten season last year. And they turned the ball over at times too much. But you got to remember, Purdue was 24th nationally. They were pretty good defensively. And even though it is kind of conventional wisdom, even toward before the tournament last year, Purdue started to apologize for having a three-game, winning the Big Ten by 3 games and winning the Big Ten tournament. This team did overachieve if you look at where the Boilermakers were last year at this time, unranked, a team that maybe a team that people thought could get in the NCAA tournament. So it's all a matter of perspective, and I think Purdue has a chance to be really, really good. That's stating the obvious, and I think that Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer are going to be a big reason why Purdue's better.
Can Zach Edey do something on a college floor with Purdue next year that noticeably improves his draft stock? Is it even possible that he can showcase enough skills to get himself safely into a first-round pick?
That's a great question, and I think the answer is it's going to be challenging at best because the NBA is, you know, it's made it pretty clear that that guys of Zach Edey's size and maybe their strengths aren't guys that are typically in the NBA. Now you could also say, well, if you get yourself good enough, they'll find you, and that may be true. But I do think that it's going to be tough. I think you'll see Edey do some more things on the court. You may see him spot up and shoot it a little bit more because he can. Is he going to be shooting three-pointers? Probably not too many. But he is a guy that he has a chance to be, can showcase, still continue to work on that mobility, work on that ability to get up and down the court. He still does, a really pretty good job of that. But is it what the NBA wants? I don't know if you can solve that. I really don't. And so... That's not a criticism to Zach. That's just the fact of what that league looks for and what it wants in a player. But Zach Edey, I think, can show if he has a year that's comparable to last year that he can put up these numbers. Rebounding should translate, but he has to also show. I think maybe the best thing he can do is show that he can guard the ball screen some. Again, how often is he going to get a chance to do that? I don't know, but anything that he can do to show that he can. Can be a little bit mobile on the court, especially defensively, would be a plus for him.
We saw the impact freshman had this past season, and you mentioned it with Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer. Now it's Miles Colvin that a lot of people are excited about, and I think one of the reasons is because I just personally, and I feel like others think like me, that Purdue was missing that guy that you could hand the ball on the perimeter and he could kind of create his own offense. And that guy that was electric in the open court transition at finishing. I feel like Miles Colvin has a chance to be that type of player. Does he make it on the floor? I've heard everything from he should be a redshirt to he should be a starter. What do you see as far as his role? And if he does have one, what minutes does it come from?
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine he won't see the court, barring any unforeseen. They really like Camden Heidi. You got to remember, Brandon Newman is no longer with the program. There are minutes to be had there. There aren't lots of minutes, and that's probably a good thing for a Miles Colvin. But if they can get a guy in there to come in and do 12 to 16 minutes and contribute in a big way, that would be extremely helpful. Purdue needs consistent offense. From its perimeter. And at times last year, that was a problem. It certainly became a problem in Columbus, Ohio in last March. Mm-hmm. So this is a team that has a lot of pieces. But this is also the same team that had Mason Gillis score 29 points against Penn State or Braden Smith scoring the 20s a couple times. So it's just a matter of consistency. But I would be surprised if Colvin doesn't get a good chance to play because of his skill set. But how much is hard to know for sure because they've got they have a European trip this year and at the end of in the middle of August after an alumni game the first week of August, an inter-squad type of scrimmage. So a lot will be determined, and Matt Painter tends to run it through that way. There's just no givens here, but. On the surface, yeah, I think Colvin's going to get a fair amount of playing time.
Let's look at the Big Ten as a whole. Now that we know who's back, who's not, when you look at the conference, assuming that Purdue is going to go into next season as the Big Ten favorite, who is number two?
Well, and there are some that are putting Michigan State, certainly with the way that Tom Izzo is recruited, and Michigan State will be right up there. I mean, a lot of people put in Michigan State in their top five, top seven, heading into next year because they have a lot of guys, a lot of pieces back to a team that actually went a couple games further than Purdue did last year. So in the NCAA tournament, that's a great question. Hunter Dickinson being gone, certainly Terrence Shannon coming back to Illinois is going to help Illinois a great deal. But Purdue's certainly going to be, and Purdue and Michigan State are going to be the two favorites after that. It's really hard to say because there's been a lot of attrition. Hunter Dickinson, like I said, leaving the Big Ten to go to Kansas. There really isn't a lot of big men in the league. Not that Zach Dickinson didn't destroy Zach Edey, I should say, didn't destroy just about everybody he played in the Big Ten, which even on the surface, less competition at that position than what there's been. But, it's funny, and again, Purdue wouldn't have been on anybody's radar this time last year as a favorite. Indiana ended up having a pretty good season, but did not have one that put them put the Hoosiers in the favorite mode, or excuse me, at the top of the league from the start to finish. My point is things can change. Ohio State certainly is a team that really struggled but got itself to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament last year after starting on Wednesday. They have talent. They're going to be hungry. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out from there. The Big Ten as a whole, though, certainly needs to make an impact in the NCAA tournament because that dry spell, not only for the national championship dating back to Michigan State in 2000, to just being really, really relevant in the final eight, the Elite Eight, for example, has really been few and far between here in recent memory.
Out of all the players that stayed in the NBA draft or came back, was there one that when you heard about it, you were more surprised than others?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure there's anybody that really, really shocked me on that end. And most guys that go in, the young first-year players that are so highly regarded, it's not surprising. I thought there was a good chance Terrence Shannon at Illinois would stay in. But, you know, the thing is, these guys get information, and the world of NIL has changed things, certainly. It certainly didn't hurt Zach Edey in this situation. But guys can kind of weigh both opportunities and make the best decision for themselves. And so I don't know how much it was surprising. It did go on a long time. There was a lot of drama yesterday, certainly waiting until 9:16 or whatever time it was. And Zach Edey decided to make his post. There were other schools. Terrence Shannon, I think, made his decision or announced his decision about an hour earlier. There are a lot of teams that are on pins and needles with that, but you know, the guys that are the top level guys, the Hood Shafinos of the world, those kind of guys, not really surprising because they're guys that people really feel like they can play at that level.
You brought up NIL, and a lot of it, I mean, it's hard to know exactly what the money is right now, but we've heard figures thrown around with Zach Edey, anything from $500,000 up to $2 million. Is the NIL, is it lucrative enough at Purdue that Zach Edey could be a $1 million man?
Oh, I think that's probably true. No, he has not disclosed, nor will he, what his situation is going to be. A lot of it is conjecture on a lot of different fronts. But Zach Edey is a pretty marketable guy just on a national level. He is a national brand in college basketball based on what he did last year. Now, it would have helped him if he did gotten to the second weekend of the tournament. I get that. But people know who Zach Edey is. He got a lot of playing, a lot of airtime, and being National Player of the Year. Plus, he's a kind of a caricature. You know, when you're 7'4" and weigh 306 pounds and can do the things he can do in a basketball court, you draw some attention. So, you know, I think it is the NIL is something that's helped keep a guy like Zach Edey around. But by the same token, how much more of it out there and how it all is going to play out, I'll let you know in 5 years. It's really going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's going to be a very marketable, in fact, probably the most marketable 7'4" guy in college basketball. But I can have one thing for sure, is that he would not be the most marketable 7'4 guy in this year's NBA draft. I know a guy, yeah, Wembanyama, that would probably have that title. Alan, hey, it's a pleasure talking to you. Always enjoy your coverage of Purdue sports, and I appreciate you taking time to join us.
Hey, it's a privilege to be on. Thanks so much. And, yes, you're right. It is an exciting time, but it's an exciting and different time in college sports, and we're all getting used to it. But thanks so much.
Yep, goldandblack.com. It is Alan Karpik. He is the president publisher, also Gold and Black Express. Check it out, especially if you are a Purdue fan. Coming up in our next hour, we've got plenty on the way. Detroit with a big hire and big money behind it. We'll tell you what's going on with the Pistons, also the Pacers with some workouts, and Justin Cohn and Dute will be on tap. It's all part of our number two, taking you home on this Thursday, June 1st. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.